that you feel comfortable in worshiping the Lord. We have a baptism this morning. As soon as Miss Amanda comes out, let me say this about baptism. Baptism does not save. It's just a picture of obedience for those who put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a proper candidate for baptism, you need to have a born-again candidate, somebody that's trusted Christ and Him alone as their personal Lord and Savior. You have to have a proper authority, and that is a local New Testament church. And then you have to have a proper amount of water. And that water is enough to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful this morning that we're going to have this opportunity. Y'all pray for Miss Amanda as she has put her faith and trust in Christ and the Lord a couple of months back.
Thank you.
God. One thing we must know about God's sovereignty is God's sovereignty does not compromise His grace. The sovereignty of God is real. It is part of God's character. So Deuteronomy 29 and verse number 29. Deuteronomy 29:29. The Bible says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now there is some things in the Word of God, I will tell you, that are very easy to understand. Here's a very simple thing to understand. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing difficult about that. That word all, A-L, means all. And that's all will ever mean, is all. I can't say all of you, and I'm talking about you five over here. I can't say all of us, and I'm only talking about seven over here. When I say all means all. And that's all will ever mean. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you find somebody in this world who says to you that they have never sinned, they're not a sinner, then they have not an understanding of this verse, because the Bible says, for all have sinned. Whether you're German, Greek, American, Chinese, Cuban, Puerto Rican, African, it does not matter. For all have sinned, rich, poor, political, doesn't matter. Non-political, doesn't matter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's something else that's really easy to understand. If you would, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8 says that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for us. That means I can't get good, I don't become good, and then all of a sudden Christ went to the cross. While I was yet a sinner, look up a few verses in Romans chapter 5
And look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. These are simple things to understand in the Word of God. If you read them, you look at them, and you put thought to them, they're very understandable things. Those that respond to God in His love, according to John chapter 3:16, shall receive everlasting life. For whosoever believeth, there's a response to God for all of sin. I'm a sinner. All of us are sinners. For all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Well, when did Christ die for sinners? While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. Not by works of righteousness which I've done, according to Titus 3:5, but it is according to the love of God. And so when we respond to that love, for whosoever, John 3:16, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when you respond to God's love, dear friend, you have everlasting life. These simple things to understand. Then there's this thing called the sovereignty of God that begins to cause people heartaches. Matter of fact, in the past, it has caused great friendships to have hardened their ways. I've read in the book, Wesley and Whitfield. Wesley and Whitefield had a great dissension between them because of this very subject. And it comes with these words. The sovereignty of God always follows by words like this: foreknowledge, election, predestination, adoption. Well, when we get to, we understand this in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says the secret things belong to God, but the things that have been revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. Well, God's revealed His mind on salvation. He's revealed His mind on that. For the grace of God has appeared to all men. So there's no difficulty understanding that. The difficulty comes when we try to take our preconceived ideas of sovereignty, foreknowledge, election, predestination, adoption, and we take our preconceived ideas and we try to conform the Word of God to those things instead of allowing our mind to be conformed by the Word of God. I was talking to Vinji, my son, not too long ago about this very subject and thinking on this, the thought of foreknowledge. Some people have a very difficult time understanding if God, being sovereign God of the universe, and He knows from everlasting to everlasting, He's the Alpha and the Omega, why would God, in His infinite wisdom, why would God allow these people, that person, this person to be born, that knowing at the end of their life there would never be a decision made for Christ, therefore they would spend eternity in hell because they did not trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? And I began to try to explain to them this, and this brings such confirmation and such joy into my heart, my life. When you take Romans chapter 5 and you read verse number 6, and you read verse number 8. Let's read it again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you want to really get a grasp and understanding of the love of God, you take foreknowledge. You take what it means. It means that God knows the beginning from the end. It means that God knew before the foundation of the earth that by the time we got to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve would be done sin, taken of the fruit that they were forbidden to take of, and that fall of man would be in sin forever. From that one, He foreknew this. He understood this. He understood that you and I would sin and we'd cause heartache, we'd cause pain. And He understood that there would be some of us sitting right here today that would reject Christ and spend eternity in hell. See, it's not by works of a religious sacrament that we are born again. It's not by giving a little money, singing a little song, singing How Great Thou Art, such a wonderful song, How Great Is Our God. It's not about that. It's about what you have done as an individual with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God, in all of His foreknowledge, He knew and He understood that there would be those that would reject Christ and the sacrifice of His Son. And yet He still sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. That is foreknowledge, dear friend. That is understanding God commended His love toward us. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So as we look at this and we begin to ponder this, we have to understand that God's sovereignty does not compromise His grace at all. Not at all. And so the first thing we need to understand is that God's sovereignty doesn't conflict with the gospel. Because the first thing somebody says, well, I have a sovereign God, and so He therefore knows the secret things belong to God. But that which has been revealed to us, for our children, forever, that we might do according to this law. What is the secret things that has been revealed to us? That the grace of God has appeared to all men. That the grace of God is there for whosoever should believe in Him should not perish. Look at Romans chapter number 1. The gospel makes salvation available to all people. So this has been revealed to us. Therefore, the sovereignty of God doesn't conflict with the gospel message that has been given to us by the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this is the secret thing about salvation has been revealed to us, that the gospel is given to everyone that believeth. And so therefore the sovereignty of God and the gospel message has no conflict. That's why He told us in the Word of God that after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me into all the world. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at just the summation of the gospel message that was put there as Paul began to write 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is summation of the gospel. It's the power of God. It brings people to salvation. And so much that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12, if you would. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Peter came to the conclusion as he was writing and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, as he wrote the book of, as he was speaking here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, Peter came to the conclusion that there's no other way. Look at verse 12, Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the sovereignty of God and the gospel message has no conflict. It's been revealed to us that God's not willing that any should perish. The great thing about the gospel message is the things that's been revealed to us is that the invitation has not changed. It's not going to change. In Matthew chapter number 11, Jesus said in verses 28, come unto me. Come unto me. Look with me in John chapter number 6 and verse number 37. John chapter 6 and verse number 37. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verse number 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So the sovereignty of God is real. What does that mean? That means that God doesn't ask us our opinion on how He goes about His business and has set it in plan from everlasting to everlasting. It is God's business. And there are some things that are higher than our ways, and some things that are not understood by us, that are difficult to understand. But those things which have been revealed, which are plain and simple, and the gospel message is plain. It was Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary, and whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the sovereignty of God doesn't have any conflict with the gospel, because the gospel is for whosoever will. For whosoever will. Secondly, God's sovereignty does not, dear friend, cancel out the Great Commission. So you get confused with foreknowledge and adoption and predestination. You get these terms, and they're biblical terms. They're in the Bible. They're there. And they have their place, but they have nothing to do with who gets saved and who doesn't get saved. And so when you get these confused, then you'll say, well, why is it that we should have what is called the Great Commission? Here's the Great Commission given to us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, that we are to go into all the world. This is the last words of Jesus, that we're to go in all the world and we're to preach the gospel. As we preach the gospel, we're to introduce them to Christ. They're to get saved. We're to baptize them. We're to disciple them. And as we disciple them, that we may bring them to a point that they do, according to Matthew chapter 28, do all that's written in the Word of God. That they become obedient disciples and followers of Christ. This is the Great Commission that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, His last days upon this earth, that He gave them to us. And so the conflict has been revealed. What's God's will? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So there's no conflict with the gospel. So we can't say, well, God's sovereign. God knows who's going to get saved. Therefore, there's no need to have missionaries. There's no need to go out and pass out tracts. There's no need to tell people that Jesus loves them, because God already knows and God's already in control of that. And it's okay. No, dear friend, we cannot allow ourselves to be a church of the great omission, but we have to be a church that is following Christ in the Great Commission. Remember, Deuteronomy 29:9, the secret things belong to God. He's already revealed to us about evangelism. He's already told us about the Great Commission. He told us His will concerning this and what we're supposed to do. And so we're to be obedient to that, dear friend. Our focus, dear friend, as God's people, has to be away from programs and be focused on people. Listen, Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth to die for a program. Jesus Christ came to this earth to live a sinless life, that He might die for people. And when we are so concerned with our program or our lack of program or we're so concerned with other objects that's going to get the gospel message out, He said, I've given you the power to be a witness. So in His sovereignty, dear friend, does not cancel out the Great Commission. So we have to be a church that is on fire with the gospel message, evangelizing the world. I think too often, dear friend, we use biblical terms to excuse our lack of work for the gospel message. We take good biblical principles. So, well, that's just not my job. To be a witness? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, after the Holy Ghost comes on you, you shall be the witness. You shall be. We have turned and flipped this world upside down, not at all like the apostles did. The Bible says those which have turned the world upside down have come hither. Listen, I am for organization. I am for programs. Listen, we pour our heart and soul into BBS around here. We pour our heart and soul into our Bible clubs, dear friend. But if it's just to have a BBS, and if it's just to have a Bible club, and it's not for the concern of the souls of those little kids in those homes and those moms and dads that those families come from, we are beating ourselves against a brick wall.
Amen.
We're just spinning our wheels just to have some program. Because I'm telling you, dear friend, our BBS and our Bible clubs have blessed the souls of those that labor and work in them. They will leave children in eternity in hell if that's all they get is a club.
Man.
They need to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And the only way that happens is, dear friend, as we understand the sovereignty of God does not cancel out the Great Commission. I mean, we just got to take the things that have been revealed. Quit looking for this deeper hidden messages in the Bible to give yourself an excuse. Listen, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 is very plain. Very plain. Pastor, I don't quite understand it. Well, let's go there. Let's just have a little big dispensational study of Acts chapter 1 verse number 8. We rely so much on our theology that we get away from God Himself. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. It's not of you. It's not within you to do this. It's not in our natural inclination to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God understood that because, listen, He created us. He formed us. And we are His by creation. And if we're saved and born again, we're now His by redemption. And so He says, but after you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, when does that happen? When I realize that the Bible is very plain and very clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wow, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of God's glory. That literally means that the mark of God is, say the mark of God is this. That was the mark of God. I have fallen short. I'm hitting down here. I'm shooting up here. I'm hitting here. I'm hitting here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to get here. There's no way for us to accomplish that. So God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, while I was yet a sinner, while I was yet missing the mark, while I was yet shooting over, shooting low, or shooting all around with religious acts and good works and things of that nature, God said, they'll never obtain it, so I'll send my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will die, and for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because I put my faith in Christ, I now, because of Christ, get the mark of God. Not on my own. After that, after I trust Christ because I know I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, Jesus died for me, I trust Him. At that moment, the Holy Ghost of God moves in and begins to live. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Well, God knows He's going to get saved, so therefore I'm not going to be involved. The sovereignty of God does not cancel out the Great Commission. Why? Because He's revealed His plan to us. Remember, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God, but that which has been revealed, He's revealed it, belongs to us and to our children forever. There's no excuse now, dear friend. We can't just talk about the sovereignty of God, which is the sovereignty of God. We're using God's sovereignty as a crutch, as an excuse not to be involved in the work of Christ and the gospel message. We can't do that. People will die and go to a devil's hell because of friend day without the friend, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, kids, you bring me 40 kids over to the Discovery Club by the end of this year. I'll swallow a goldfish. Right up here in front of the church.
But me swallowing a goldfish and you bringing 40 kids will not see people saved. I'll just be swallowing. I'll be like Jonah. We'll reverse play Jonah. Because I know as soon as I'm done, I'm going to have to go somewhere and get that thing up out of here. Be swimming around up in there. It's making me sick right now. Oh. I will do it, children. But listen, me swallowing goldfish is not going to get them to heaven. We have to present Christ. We've got to get them to the knowledge and understanding of Christ and quit using biblical things and biblical. Well, I just don't understand it. This has been revealed plain. It's our job. Pastor, I can't get out the visitation. It never said that, did it? Let's read it. Hold on. But ye shall receive power on Thursday, first and third, Thursday, second, fourth, Sabbath. Oh, no. You receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Dear friend, we've got to get to the point where we understand something. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that's going to save folks. Not our program, not our visitation program. Thank God for it. But we're without excuse when we go 7 days in our week. 7 days, and you say, well, I can't make first and third Thursday. I can't make second and fourth Saturdays. I work, I got this, kids got that, and I can't do this, and this, you know, I just can't. But we can go 7, 14, 21, 36, 99 days without sharing Christ with no one? You're telling me the Holy Spirit of God just jumped up and left, went somewhere? No, He's within us, we're sealed. We're sealed. Pastor, we need more people. We need more. Our Sunday school class needs to. Pastor, I only got 4 kids in there. When's the last time you went and handed a gospel tract to anybody? The sovereignty of God does not conflict with the gospel. The sovereignty of God does not cancel out the Great Commission. And the sovereignty of God will never curtail God's plan of evangelism. Never. Well, they're going to get saved anyway, preacher. Right, preacher, they're going to come to know Christ as their personal Savior anyway. Will you please answer me this one question, dear friend? Why in the world has Christ waited? Why has God waited so long for His return to send back for us? Do you realize in Acts chapter number 2, there was 3,000 folks that got saved, Brother James? 3,000 folks got saved, Sister Barbara. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, there was 3,000 souls by the end of the book of Acts. By the end of chapter 4, there was another 5,000 that got saved. That's according to God's Word. That's what God says. That's the Word. By the end of Acts chapter number 4, there was 5,000. By the time you get to Acts chapter number 8, there was multitudes that had trusted Christ their personal Lord and Savior. Why, since this was written, has not Christ come yet for us? I'll tell you why, dear friend. He's not willing that any should perish. But all should come to repentance. That all should know Christ in their personal knowledge of and pardon of sin, because Jesus is the only way. Amen. So if God in His wisdom has halted the return of Christ to call us home, do you not think it's for a reason? Maybe we can just get us, you know, another program going. Could it be the reason that your sister or your aunt or your brother or your neighbor or your cousin, the one that helps you at the cash register, could it be that that is the one that God's waiting on for you to share Christ? Amen. But we can take our, listen, dear friend, we can take our kids to summer camps all, every time we turn around. We can just, you know, we can probably go all summer to summer camp. But if we're only going so they can go down the slip and slide, we're wasting our time. We're going because they need to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If we're only coming to church to fill a quota, I'm here. Brother Dave, did you see me? I'm at church today. Hey, Brother Bill, I'm here. If I'm only here so that I can be seen, dear friend, I'm missing this. I am coming to church that I might be perfected, completed. For what? So I'll be a better husband? That's a good thing. We need to be a better husband. So I'll be a better wife? That's a great thing. We need better wives. I am coming to church I might be perfected for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is that people might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Look over with me in Acts chapter number 20. We're almost done. Acts chapter 20. So, dear friend, we stand without excuse when it comes to I can't make it the first and third Thursday. I can't make it the first, second, and fourth Saturdays, which the church has set aside as time to go out as a body to visit and to evangelize the community. We are without excuses, dear friend. The Holy Spirit of God don't come upon you at those times only. Acts chapter 20, verse number 20. Listen to what Paul says. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I dare say whether somebody's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell is profitable. I do think it'd be profitable, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So now you know my pastor says we need to go door to door. Because that's how they did in the Bible. That's how they did. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse number 31. Paul said this, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The sovereignty of God does not curtail the evangelism of God. Yes, God knows who's going to get to heaven, but He still sent His Son to die for those who would not. So therefore, we as God's people need to be busy. It's not for you and I to be discerning who might go to heaven and who might not. I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, dear friend, I believe with all my heart there's a lot of church members that's walked an aisle, shook a preacher's hand, got baptized, that's never trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. They're depending upon church membership. And some preacher, some bow-legged, backboneless preacher would not, because they had a pocket full of money, would not say, you need to be born again. Church is not going to get you to heaven, dear friend. Christ died for the church, but it's Jesus and Him alone. Oh, preacher, you're being a little mean this morning. I know. I figured it out, so I put that in here. I put that, be mean. Be mean, right there. I put up there, offend all, right there. No, I didn't. I'm just telling you, friend, this is a serious thing about souls. If we don't do our part, we can fill up this bottom row. We can put people in the balcony. We can get so full, Brother Jim, we've got to lay people in the choir. But if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we got nothing but a zoo running around here. We're just a circus. We might as well put a merry-go-round out here, charge some admission, get you one of them little things. You know, that they make music, and I'll jump out like a monkey. And we'll do our little monkey dance. We'll put a little cabbage down here and some lettuce, and we'll let a husband and wife that's fighting at home pull up out there smiling and get out here and fight in front of us, and we'll toss money to them. Because if that's all we're going to do, dear friend, is just fill it up, and they're empty without Christ, and they spend eternity in hell. What have we done? Well, it's the sovereignty of God. You're right. But God's Son never compromises His grace. Never. Salvation, dear friend, is available to all who believe. So why in the world can we not be busy day by day warning people that heaven is sweet, hell is real? Yeah, Pastor, but it's just not a popular thing. Hell should never be popular. But the Bible says this, hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Because it's becoming more and more and more popular. Because God's people would better be tangled up with the cares of this world than with Jesus Christ, the crucified. Paul said, I care not to know nothing but Christ crucified. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Secret things belong to God. The difference, I'm going to tell you, in 66 books of this old King James Bible, He's revealed a whole bunch to us. And we need to be busy about the things of Christ.